Thanks, Katie. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, please speak into our lives this morning. Please go beyond any words that I've prepared. Bring hope where there is despair, forgiveness where there is bitterness, faith where there is fear. Whisper to every heart the endless nature of your love. Amen. So, 2017, who can believe it? Another year. But our calling remains constant, to invest in God's kingdom, to pray, "Thy kingdom come," with our very lives. We remind ourselves of what Jesus asked us to do, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded us. And surely Jesus will be with us always to the very end of the age. That was the job that Jesus called us to do until he wraps everything up when the new heaven and the new earth is created on his return. So if we're going to take that calling seriously, and it's a big one, then we need to be prepared. We need to make sure we're not running on empty. We need to be connected with God, not trying to do everything in our own strength. In our reading from Ephesians, which Katie just read, in verse 7, it says, "To each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." We have the opportunity every day to mine that grace, the depths of God's grace for us, to energize our commission, our mission as a church and as individuals. And our gospel reading about John the Baptist, so beautifully illustrated by Stephen's video, is that the wilderness plays a huge part in our preparation. John the Baptist invites everyone to join him in the wilderness, to experience God's grace for themselves, to surrender our lives to God, to repent, and to be baptized. Why on earth would we go to the wilderness? Well, in Jesus' case, if you remember, he also went into the wilderness for 40 days, straight after his baptism by John. And it was to spend time alone with God, to allow himself to be tested, to draw spiritual strength for his vocation ahead. And we too need that space at the beginning of every year, and in fact, the beginning of every day. We need to go into the wilderness to spend time allowing God to prepare us in whatever way we find helpful. I don't know how you do it, but some people I know just go away and pray quietly in a corner. Others will be praying out loud in their gardens or in their living rooms. Others will need to pray with others because they find that a lot easier. Others will be singing. Others will be just listening to some worship on the radio. Others will be reading the Bible quietly. Others chant. Other people I know just meditate on the Bible itself. But most important, everybody I know who finds this helpful listens to God, spends time every day listening to God. However we do it, in our time with God, he can prepare us for all this year and every day is going to bring. All that God might ask of us as individuals and as a church at St. Mary's, he will prepare us for. We can allow God in those moments to say the uncomfortable things that he needs to say to us right now, each individually. We can reconnect with God so that we can be of use in his great commission. But maybe you feel God is silent. Maybe you remember a time when you didn't know if God even existed. You couldn't imagine a creator who knew us and cared for us. Maybe there was a time when you were desperately trying to find God when God seemed completely indifferent. Well, by the time John the Baptist from our gospel reading is born, there'd been 400 years when God had seemed silent. Malachi in the Old Testament ends, and 400 years later, Matthew begins the New Testament. And in that time, God's people didn't really hear very much from God. Had God been silent all that time? Or is the apparent silence the result of all the other noise in our lives, cluttering up our souls, drowning out God's whispers into our hearts? Sometimes all we can hear is the kind of tinnitus of our life, isn't it? We manage to tune God completely out. That's the moment when we need to retreat into the wilderness. In verse 23, in that moment, God sends John. In verse 23, John says, I'm coming to help you discover this God so you can know Jesus is the one who is calling us to life. He says, I'm a voice in the wilderness. Let's make straight the way for the Lord. God was using John to break through the religion, the temple, the ritual, the habits, the noise of life, the tinnitus that was distracting them from God. And when he went into the wilderness and came into his ministry, wow, did he make a difference? Was that voice heard, John's voice? He goes again out into the wilderness. He doesn't go back to the temple where his father was a priest. He'd been a priest since, his family had been priests since Aaron's time. It seemed like God didn't need a priest in the temple. He needed a barbarian out in the wilderness. But the desert was seen as a dark place. Demons live there. It's where Jesus was tempted, after all. But John needed to stay in those unfamiliar waters, to fish on the other side of the boat. And because he was with God as he stepped into that darkness, he came out stronger than when he went in. Same's true for us, isn't it, today? Church life and ritual can sometimes distract us from God's chosen life for us. The adventure and risk he might be asking us to take out there in the wilderness. We tend to play it safe, don't we? We seek the comfort of the familiar. We're frightened, maybe, of the unknown. But we're called in God's great commission to take the game to the opposition, to all people, everywhere, everyone. We need to get out there in the marketplace, engage in the debate, and make straight the path for Jesus, the light of the world. We need to be ready to play an away game on this FA Cup weekend. Yes, the church should be safe occasionally, especially for those who are desperately seeking life or hope, those who need love or acceptance or meaning for their lives. But in turn, once we've found that, it should lead us back again into the marketplace, into the wilderness, where we can be refined and inspired and filled with the Spirit of God. Those around us might be stuck in their own wilderness. They need us to thrive in the desert. They need to know that we've found someone who can overcome the brokenness. They need to know that we've found hope in the midst of despair. And they need us to break the silence, to be the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. So we have to be prepared to speak out. If we're going to be a voice in the marketplace and in the community, it's going to have to be our voice or no one's. Many today are trying to make sense of God and can't hear God in the maddening noise of 24/7 news or social media. Or maybe they're frightened of the silence that's required to connect. But it's not that God that isn't speaking. God is speaking through his people. But sometimes we have to admit we lose the capacity to speak, don't we? We abandon our calling to be a voice in the wilderness. But I've been reflecting over Christmas also that it's not just our clever words that help people find God. That alone is not enough. It's the authenticity of our own conversation, our own relationship with Jesus that really makes the impact. The fact that we, you and I, have been individually and together out into the wilderness ourselves. We've experienced it. We've plumbed the depths of God's love ourselves. We've engaged with God. We've wrestled with him. And finally, we've surrendered to him ourselves, allowing God to begin to transform our lives. When our neighbors see that in us, they'll be fascinated. They'll be engaged by it. They'll believe it more than our words. We read from John 1 over Christmas, where we hear that Jesus, the true light that gives light to everyone, is coming into the world, so that all who receive him, all who believed in his name, will have the right to become children of God, to be adopted into God's family. And that even though he was in the world and made the world, unfortunately, most people didn't recognize him. So John's job was to be that witness, to testify to the light, so that all would believe. John's job and ours in the Great Commission is to make sure that our neighbours recognise the light. Our job is not simply to shatter the silence and to speak out, but also to dispel the darkness. The trouble is, when the light comes on, it can be blinding, can't it? Like that early morning moment when you first switch on the side light. And the light might feel uncomfortable, condemning even, judgmental. It's difficult when God turns on the light in our lives because we see things that have been hidden. And we tend to blame God because he caught us naked. And we think that the light made us naked, but the light didn't make us naked. We were naked in the dark already. The light didn't break us. We were broken in the dark already. The light didn't condemn us. We were condemned in the dark already. The light simply came on, and we saw our condition. But we need to make sure as a church that we don't turn this light into a spotlight, into an interrogation light. We're not to be the judges of anyone else. It's not our job to condemn the world. John came to point to the light, not to the darkness. And he came so that we could recognize the light and could move towards that light, so we, in turn, could be set free from the darkness. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to bring the world life. So we need to be careful that this church is the safest place in the world for those who need it to be, where our community can come into the light, step into the light of Jesus, receive that forgiveness from God, that healing, and so that transformation can begin. Another reading from Christmas is Isaiah 40. Jesus, we're reminded, gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So let's go out into the wilderness regularly, every day. Receive from Jesus, so that as our reading in Ephesians says, we can live a life worthy of the calling we've received, that great commission. If we regularly go out into the wilderness and let God have his way with us, allow God to work on us, allow God to bestow on us the grace that has been given us as Christ apportioned it. It's a wonderful thing. We're all gifted in some way to pray for or to take part in this commission, in this mission. And as we speak the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. What a wonderful vision from Paul this morning for our church in 2017, for St. Mary's, for you and I, that we will grow into the sort of church that is mature in faith with Jesus as the head, where we recognize our gifts and use them to fulfill the calling on our lives. Now, in case anyone misunderstands me, I find this as hard as anyone. I'm human, even though I've got a collar around my neck, just like everyone else. And if I look back at the bigger picture for my life, I know that I, out of fear, declined God's calling to go into the ministry probably at the age of 21, 31, and 41. And it wasn't until I was 51 that I finally accepted it. Fear can be a crippling thing. But what I can say is now, those times when I do go into the wilderness each day, everything changes. My conversations with other people are richer. I see healing take place in people's lives. Ministry is more intense and resonant. A friend of mine reminds me occasionally, quite challengingly, that he says, the speed of the leader, speed of the team. It comes from Bill Hybels, actually, from Willow Creek Church. Bill Hybels says, speed of the leader, speed of the team. If you want to lead somebody into faith, you have to go there first. If you want to lead a church into mission, you have to be prepared to have done that yourself. If you want to ask your church to allow God to challenge it, then we have to have allowed God to challenge us ourselves. So because I found it hard, I've had a real jewel this week. Thanks to Ed and Debbie at the back there, I've actually discovered a retreat centre in London. And I promise you, I'm making this assurance that I'm going to go away three times every year on retreat to that retreat centre or another one, so that I am making sure that I'm doing what I'm asking everybody else to do, going away and allowing God to transform my life and to change me. So hold me to account on that one. The first one's already booked in, so that's good. But even though we might want to go away to retreat every now and then, it doesn't take away our need to retreat every day, to spend time with God, to allow him to fill us with his Spirit every single day. Because those who trust in their Lord for help will find their strength renewed. We'll be able to share the good news in our day-to-day conversations. We'll be able to tackle poverty and debt through the food bank and CAP. We'll be able to offer hope to teenagers as we partner with Ely College. We'll be able to take hope to prisoners and refugees. We'll be able to bring hope to local pensioners and vulnerable children here on a Thursday morning. We will be able to bring light into our community. We can pray, "Thy kingdom come." We've been entrusted with something special as St. Mary's. It's time for us to offer everything back to God, so that our community becomes a place where every person who doesn't believe in God discovers Jesus, the light, because we are pointing to the light. We are representing the light. We are evidence of the light, bearing witness to what we've seen and heard and what has changed us. I'd like us to pray together for a little bit this morning. Could I ask you to stand if you're able? Please stand.